Blog Talk Radio.
Something is going on. Some of us see it, some of us feel it. It's time to expand your thinking. You will need to reset everything you thought you knew about the world, about the people you trust, about history, about yourself.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price.
The good guys with control over the NSA began the Q intelligence dissemination program to invoke an online grassroots movement that came to be called the Great Awakening. It started on underground internet channels and then moved to the mainstream. Q has been a fun distraction for those who follow world events and desire truth, but it is about to begin a much more important and necessary phase, keeping the public informed when the deep state war breaks out onto the surface. By this, I mean high-profile arrests. Yes, folks, the criminals I'm referring to are famous politicians, actors, singers, CEOs, and celebrities. People who have earned our trust, respect, and admiration. They have done very bad things that are all fully known and documented, and they will be severely punished. Those of us who have followed Q since the beginning will be here to help you make sense of the coming events. We are among the first to realize that our petty partisan divisions are just trivial distractions, and we are all enslaved by a hidden enemy. We realize that the problem was never capitalism or socialism, Democrat or Republican, black or white, Muslim or Christian. We know it was just very powerful criminals who had too much power. Fellow slaves, it's time to buckle your seatbelt, recognize your true enemy, and embrace a new future that we all owe to the brave patriots who risk their lives to achieve this victory against the greatest force of evil the world has ever known. May God bless America.
Let's get into the economic collapse, political and geopolitical news. Now, everything the deep state, the mainstream media, the corrupt politicians have tried to do, it is now turning on them. We have American doctors on the front line who set up a summit today. They're in D.C. and they're calling out the establishment, not just the deep state, but all the doctors, the pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals that are playing along with this. They came out, and I'm talking about the doctors who are on the front lines here, the American doctors on the front lines, and they're talking about the cure. We don't need masks. We don't need to be locked down. We already have a cure, and that is hydroxychloroquine. It has begun. Everything that these people tried to do is now being countered. People will be questioning this. People will want to have answers on who decided that this was so terrible, and why did the mainstream media continually tell everyone that hydroxychloroquine was deadly, that it causes death, do not take it? Why did the pharmacists, the association, block hydroxychloroquine? Why did governors block the distribution of hydroxychloroquine? I do believe that we're going to see many, many class action lawsuits because we never had to wear masks. We never had to be locked down for this long. And there are going to be certain hospitals, doctors, and the rest that were involved in all of this. The truth is about to come out. We can see they're preparing for all of this, And you can see that the truth is going to take those individuals that are hiding in the shadows, those individuals that are behind the curtain, and is going to bring them out into the light. And a lot of people are going to have to explain this, of why we were doing this, when common sense and actual science shows you there is no reason for it. We've already proven over and over that masks don't work. Actually, the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, they've already done studies showing they do not work. Standing 6 feet apart, there is no need for it. Those people who have compromised immune systems, they have to take precautions. But the everyday person, the 99.9999% that's out there that have no problem, they should be going about their daily lives. Period. And now, it's all about to come out. Now, if you want to see the video of the American doctors on the front line, you can go to my Twitter feed, or I'll be putting the video up on the x22report.com site. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. Most likely YouTube might be downing it. We'll have to see how that all plays out. But right now they are up and you can view them. Now, we're going to be discussing all this a little bit later in this report, but first I wanted to start off with Walgreens CEO Stefano Pessina. He decided to step down as chief executive officer after 5 years at the helm. And during his reign of Walgreens, the pharmacy's value dropped by half. And now we have this individual that has now resigned. So we just add that to the number of CEOs that have resigned right now. Now, like we've been saying, Biden most likely is not the real candidate. He's hiding in his basement. He doesn't really want to do any interviews. He doesn't want a debate. He doesn't want anything like that. Actually, Fox News, they said, hey, we would like to do an interview with you. And Biden's team said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do any type of interview. So they declined. I don't think these debates are ever going to happen with Trump, between Biden and Trump. I think they're going to put it off until they can't put it off anymore. And then all of a sudden, Biden is going to become ill. He might even mention his vice president, but as time goes on, he's going to say he's ill, and all of a sudden you're going to see the old switcheroo. And I think this is what they're holding off for. And I do believe that's going to be coming up very, very soon, because you can see how this is all headed. Now, we know that Trump, the Patriots, they've been dripping out the declassified information, building the narrative, building the story, showing the people what's really been going on. Now, the mainstream media, they've been trying to spin all this, but as more and more declassified information drips out, it's getting harder and harder for them. Now, something very interesting, this was in a Q's post, this was Catherine Herridge. She tweeted this out. Scoop: declassified records from DNI Radcliffe revealed FBI counterintelligence plus security briefing to then candidate Trump at General Flynn at Governor Christie, August 17, 2016, 17 days after FBI probe Crossfire Hurricane. According to docs, this was run through agents Strzok and others. And then she followed up with that tweet with another tweet. FISA, 18 U.S.C. 1519, destruction, alteration, or falsification of records in federal investigations and bankruptcy. 18 U.S. Code 1001, statements or entries generally. 18 U.S. Code, Section 1621, perjury. This is what these people are facing. So let's go back a little bit and let's look at some of these documents here. On July 12, 2018, at the apex of the Mueller probe, Department of Justice and the NSD, they dispatched a manipulative letter to the FISA court informing the FISC that the predicate for the FISA application was still valid. 9 days later, July 21, 2018, the special counsel released the Carter Page FISA application to fill the Freedom of Information Act requests. So let's take a look at this, and this has come from the Conservative Treehouse. This background context is very, very important. How Judiciary Chairman Bob Goodlatte was asking Presiding Judge Rosemary Collier for a copy of the FISA application on file in the FISC. Collier responded saying both Goodlatte and Nunes, the legislative branch, needed to exhaust all efforts to retrieve from the Department of Justice, the executive branch. Congress was questioning the details of the FISA. Unprompted and needing to keep prop up the FISA application, the special counsel responded to the FIST saying that the predicate was still valid. Obviously, the background of how the FISA application was obtained was critical to the special counsel maintaining the validity of their purpose. Hence, despite 18 months of direct FBI evidence that contradicted the primary underpinning document, the Steele dossier, the special counsel lied to the FISC saying the original predicate was valid. When we look at the last page of the first FISA application that was released, there is a much bigger story visible, and the page tells quite a bit. The FISC stamp of March 17, 2017 tells us that Robert Mueller's team released a document that was proprietary to the Washington Field Office FBI, Supervisory Special Agent Brian Dugan. FBI Agent Dugan calls this an FBI equity in his December 14, 2018 statement under penalty of perjury. The special counsel is releasing Dugan's evidence. This release tells us that the SSA Brian Dugan turned over his investigative file to the special counsel at the conclusion of his leak investigation, likely because the Mueller probe held primary investigative authority over anything related to Trump-Russia, and the FISA application was central component to the Mueller probe. Quite simply, if Agent Dugan had not turned over his investigative file, and if the special counsel did not take ownership of this investigative file, then the special counsel would not have this specific copy to release. The Department of Justice would have instead been releasing their own copy of the FISA application for the Department of Justice National Security Division. This simple fact that Mueller released this March 17 stamp version for the Freedom of Information Act fulfillment meant that the special counsel had received Dugan's investigative file. So hope everyone can see that. The special counsel redacted the dates because Brian Dugan had changed them in order to track leaks to the media. The unredacted Dugan copy would show origination dates in conflict with actual. The special counsel released the Dugan copy and removed the risk by redacting the dates. This is one example how this special counsel team controlled, removed, and released information that was damaging to their own corrupt intentions. There are many, many more like this. The special counsel needed to remove the evidence that the SSCI Security Director James Wolf leaked the unredacted FISA application to journalist Allie Watkins on March 17, 2017. By the time Brian Dugan's investigative file was scrubbed by the Mueller team, it was returned to the USAO, Jesse Liu, with the evidence of the Wolf FISA leak removed. This is why the Wolf grand jury never heard the evidence of what James Wolf released, and this explains why he was only indicted on lying three times to FBI investigators. This is why propaganda stays up there, and the truth and the facts take a little while to reach the top, and then when the truth and facts reach the top and they go up against propaganda, propaganda completely falls apart. I mean, look what's happening with the pandemic. It is completely falling apart. And if we look at the numbers and we look at what's going on, we can see that most of this is all about manipulation. It's all about propaganda making everyone think a certain way. Take, for instance, Florida. Let's talk about protecting yourself. A new bill in Washington is trying to invade your privacy. It's called the Lawful Access to Encrypted Data Act. Using a VPN will hide your location online, and it will allow you to surf the web anonymously. I only use Virtual Shield VPN. Virtual Shield is built from the ground up specifically for your privacy protection. It's fast, reliable, and secure. It's available on iPhone and Android devices. And for those people that listen to X22 Report, Virtual Shield, they have an exclusive offer. 50% off any VPN plan on virtualshield.com. Go to virtualshield.com/X22 to start protecting yourself. Click the link below. They're telling us that Florida has the most cases. It's a nightmare in Florida. Well, really, it isn't. I mean, you would think there are people just collapsing in the middle of the street. You would think that the hospitals are so backed up when you drove by them, you just saw lines of people out there waiting to get in because, oh, it's so bad. You don't see any of that stuff. This is what Alex Berenson tweeted out. Florida, 223,000 positive SARS-CoV-2 tests in 3 weeks, 10,000 a day, and no change in hospitalizations or ICU occupancy statewide. You say epidemic? I say a lot of people getting colds. Let's call the whole thing off. And I do believe that. Let's call the whole thing off. And I do believe it's going to be called off. Why? Because Trump canceled the GOP convention in Florida. Now we're starting to see the cases turned down already. Wow, amazing. Let's look at Texas. Brian Westbury tweeted this out. Texas has a decline in new cases as well, and its hospitals, ICUs, are at 87% of capacity. Like Florida, things look better. Obviously, there are still a few hospitals at capacity, but even there, things are looking better. Now, remember, 87% doesn't mean it's all COVID. It's all the people that couldn't get into the hospital for other procedures. That's what we're really seeing right now. Arizona is seeing the same exact thing. It's all falling apart. And when you look at it, you can see that everything is not what they say. Clay Travis tweeted this out. Look at New York's death rate here compared to Texas, Florida, and Arizona's death rates. Number of confirmed cases is the top graph. It's wild. The media keeps ignoring what a disaster Andrew Cuomo's leadership was while ripping Abbott and DeSantis. And when you look at this, you see daily cases. Now, just because you have daily cases rising doesn't mean that everyone is sick and everyone is in bed. It just means that you might have the antibody. Sometimes you have the antibody and there's nothing wrong with you. Actually, it's your body's way of fighting it. If you had a test for the flu, you might have the flu antibody. If you test for a cold, a coronavirus, which is the coronavirus, you might have the coronavirus for the antibody for that cold. So the daily cases is meaningless at this point. Actually, what it's really doing, it's making that death percentage continually drop and decline every single day. And when you look at the number of cases, they look pretty much the same as New York. But when you look at the death rates, Florida, Arizona, Texas, nowhere near New York at the same peak. Actually, when you look at Arizona, Florida, and Texas, they're almost flatline compared to New York. But what's very interesting today is that America's frontline doctors, they gave a summit in D.C., and they were talking about COVID, and they were talking to the American people, and they were letting us know that we've been tricked. They said there is a cure. It's called hydroxychloroquine. They said there's no need for masks, no need for lockdown, no need for any of this, because they've been treating patients with hydroxychloroquine. Today they did an entire summit explaining all of it and why we don't need to be afraid. Take a listen to one of the doctors.
I'm upset. Why I'm upset is that I see people that cannot breathe. I see parents walk in, I see diabetics sit in my office knowing that this is a death sentence and they can't breathe. And I hug them and I tell them it's going to be okay, you're going to leave. And we treat them and they leave. None has died. So if some fake science, some person sponsored by all these fake pharma companies comes out and say, oh, we've done studies and they found out that it doesn't work, I can tell you categorically it's fake science. I want to know who is sponsoring that study. I want to know who is behind it, because there is no way I can treat 350 patients and counting, and nobody is dead, and they all did better. And then you're going to tell me that you treated 20 people, 40 people, and it didn't work. I'm a true testimony. So I came here to Washington, D.C., to tell America, nobody needs to get sick. This virus has a cure. It is called hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax. I know people want to talk about masks. Hello? You don't need masks. There is a cure. I know they don't want to open schools. No, you don't need people to be locked down. There is prevention and there is a cure. And let me tell you something.
Now, Dr. Emanuel, she was on fire. She was calling out all the doctors, calling out the hospitals, telling them, listen, you need to start telling the truth. You need to not be afraid. You need to tell everyone what this really is and expose those individuals that were putting you up to this. And I do believe the doctors, the nurses, it's time for them to rise up. It's time for people to stand up and say no more of this. We're calling you out on this. And we need the professionals who are in that field to stand up. We need the patriots to stand up. We need everyone to stand up and say no more. And I do believe we're at that point. Remember, Q has told us, when people reach the precipice of destruction, that's when change occurs. And I think people are reaching that precipice. They can't take it anymore. They know it's fake. They know masks don't work. They know all of this has been made up to scare every single person. And now it's time for all those doctors and nurses who've been hiding. It's time for you to stand up. It's time for you to come out and join all of us to say no more. And what's very interesting about all of this is that all these players like Bill Gates, who is pushing vaccines, Anderson Cooper and the rest, they're out there and they're talking about the conspiracy theories about everyone talking about them. And now they're answering why it isn't true, which means they're shaken, which means that it's bothering them, because you wouldn't have to answer these things. You would just ignore it. But when you go on air on an interview and you counter the argument, that tells you something. And I wonder if Bill Gates is a little bit worried, because there's a petition on the White House website, and it says a petition to investigate Gates Foundation, and it has over 600,000 signatures right now, which means the White House needs to start an investigation into what's really going on. Now, it seems that with event number two, the deep state, they're moving in a different direction. Remember, Antifa is a leftist organization. The left, they are pushing the riots. And what they're doing right now, because we're seeing this plastered all over social media, where we're watching these individuals attack, start fires, loot, destroy buildings. It seems that the mainstream media is trying to make everyone believe that, oh no, it's not Antifa, it's not the left, it's the right activists. They're the ones who are destroying all this. And this is coming out of NBC News. This is the headline: jihadist plots used to be U.S. and Europe's biggest terrorist threat. Now it's the far right. No, the far right's not doing this. This has nothing to do with the far right. This is the far left. This is Antifa. And what's very interesting is that Essential Fleckus was out there talking to Nadler on the street and asked Jerry Nadler a simple question. Will you disavow the Antifa violence, the rioting in Portland? You know what his response was? That it's a myth. Take a listen.
Violence across the whole country. Do you disavow the violence from Antifa that's happening in Portland right now?
That's a myth that's being spread only in Washington, D.C.
About Antifa in Portland?
Yes.
Sure, there's videos everywhere online. There's fires and riots. They're throwing fireworks at federal officers. DHS is there. Look online. It gets crazy, Mr. Nadler.
Now, we know that this is not a myth. We've seen multiple videos. We've seen the destruction. And they're just pretending that this doesn't exist.
It's only one thing Nancy loves more than gelato: lawyers. In a year when we ask millions of Americans to unite and fight a novel virus, Nancy Pelosi's instinct is to protect the lawyers by vowing to block liability protections for employers in the next relief package. Here it is.
What we will not support is the following: what they're saying to essential workers. You have to go to work because you're essential. We place no responsibility on your employer to make that workplace safe. And if you get sick, you have no recourse because we've given your employer protection. And if you don't go to work because you're afraid of being sick and you have that job opportunity, you don't get unemployment insurance. This is so unfair.
So wait, we placed no responsibility on the employers to make the workplace safe? Where the hell has she been? Hiding underground with Joe, the guy who read Rip Van Winkle and made it his political playbook? Unless you've been refrigerated like delicious mint chocolate chip for 7 months, you've seen an amazing commitment to ensure safety. So let's not assume people who want to get back to work are being irresponsible. They're making adult decisions, struggling to save their livelihoods. Liability protection exists to allow civilization enough time to restart before the lawyers carve up the carcass.
When you're not having fun, doesn't it? Believe it or not, we're down to less than 100 days before the election. Event-wise, this has been the worst lead into a presidential election since 1968. And in some ways, it's arguably far worse. Who would have ever imagined that we'd have an election year heading down to the wire with essentially no in-person campaigning, no big national conventions, and maybe no debates. Though I doubt there's any way Joe Biden's getting out of debating President Donald Trump. All this when the stakes for the country are higher than they've been since, oh well, maybe the Civil War. Elections mean things, and this year they mean everything. And that's why it's critical to continue uncovering what was done to try to hijack the last election. Sadly, one of the major ways to influence elections, though it's not supposed to happen, is through the use or the misuse of the tax-exempt 501c3 organizations. Like when the Obama IRS was clearly weaponized to disqualify Tea Party organizations that had been formed around conservative principles while letting most progressive groups sail right through to tax-exempt status. California Representative Devin Nunes broke some stunning news in an interview with Maria Bartiromo on her Fox Business News show. It's called Mornings with Maria. He talked about the most prominent liberal think tank, the Brookings Institute. It is, of course, a 501c3 being involved with, drumroll please, Christopher Steele and the dossier. According to Congressman Nunes, there are direct links between the 2016 president of major leftist think tanks like the Brookings Institute, longtime Clinton loyalist Strobe Talbott, and the creation and distribution of the phony Steele dossier. As he put it, I think they have real questions that need to be answered here about what on earth the president of Brookings was doing texting back and forth to Steele. Why was he accepting the dossier? Nunes returned Sunday to talk with her on Sunday Morning Futures, just as more news broke about the dossier. Steele's main concern and his main source has been unmasked and is identified as Igor Denshenko, who I would add is a close associate of Adam Schiff's star impeachment witness, Fiona Hill. Nunes first offered a little background, saying that a few months ago, he and Senator Lindsey Graham were saying they saw three Russians as possible sources, but that now it turns out that the one finally identified wasn't really a Russian. He was someone living right here in the U.S. Both the FBI and the media had led Congress and the American public to believe that Steele had some super secret Russian source. Turns out that was just another lie. We've learned something else very interesting about him. Steele's Russian source used to work at the Brookings Institute.
Somehow Steele had this really super secret source that nobody could know about. Well, it ends up that he used to work for the Brookings Institute. The president of Brookings back in 2016, we know that he had given the dossier to a few people. This was the Clinton campaign's dossiers. It was the dirt. It was a phony story that they sold not only to the American people, but they sold it and corrupted our FBI, where it appears like these dirty cops were more than willing to take this information and present it to the FISA courts.
Understand that all this material was completely unverified Oppo research bought and paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign. Reporters actually got Pulitzer Prizes for playing their roles in disseminating that rot. In Nunes's words, the whole thing was just some sick fantasy made up by the Clinton campaign. Once again, we can say that when it comes to corruption, all roads lead back to Hillary. Nunes says the investigation, by which I assume he means the Senate investigation, has now been expanded to include the Brookings Institute, specifically as it involves the IRS and a 501c3's legal obligation to stay out of politics if it's going to remain tax exempt. He says they clearly have not done that, and for the last 4 years, they have obstructed the investigation with propaganda, and they've done it publicly attacking them through this kind of phony legal group of fact checkers that they set up. Now, the other trouble spot at Brookings is its acceptance of foreign money. This may include even money from foreign governments. So the question is, what foreign countries are we talking about? Were donors acting on behalf of a foreign power to damage President Trump and help Hillary? And after President Trump and his campaign were looked at upside down and sideways, it became pretty clear that they had not colluded with Russia in order to win in 2016. But now we see that the Brookings Institute was playing politics on the Democrat side, and they did have foreign donors.